it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Good evening and welcome along to another episode live here on the Red Tinted Glasses YouTube channel. I'm just about staying awake. And Callum, you've also changed location as well, but it is the night after the day before, if that's how the saying goes. You can tell I'm totally with it. Wasn't to be in Germany, as the Dons, probably as many expected, went down in defeat. But the scoreline probably wasn't what was expected. It was a valiant performance, but Eintracht Frankfurt running out 2-1 winners. Callum, what was your initial post-match thoughts, first of all?
I was actually a bit disappointed we didn't come away with something, to be honest, given a couple of the chances at the end of the game. But I was impressed. When the team lines came out, I don't know, I didn't really know what to think. I wasn't sure how we'd set up at all. But I don't know if proud's the way to describe it. I thought it was a very valiant effort. And given, you know, in the build-up to the game, we were thinking this is the last thing we needed, going and taking a scudding off Frankfurt. Maybe that game was what we needed, because it was against a decent side, and we go and show that, you know, we are up for it. We do have the quality when we play football to hurt teams, which sort of begs the question, why didn't we do it against Hearts and Hibs? But obviously a very different occasion and things like that. But it gave me reason to be a bit more confident going into these next two games, especially that if we do play football when we can, then we'll be fine. And I was impressed. How were you feeling, Glenn, if you remember it?
It's funny you saying that, like, about actually playing football and why couldn't we do that against Hibs and Hearts, because it's exactly what we were kind of speaking about, you know, on the flights home and waiting for flights today, about it's maybe kind of the kind of level of performance that we put in Celtic, in terms of actually utilizing the ball, in terms of spreading the play wide, because when it's certainly against Hearts, it was just lumping the ball high up into the sky, which is what a lot of those fans were doing in the Romberg Square yesterday. It's just, you know, I probably share your frustration, and that Esther Sokler chance is going to haunt me for a while. Although I probably wouldn't be here right now had that found the back of the net, because there would have been serious carnage in that away end. I mean, the Polvara bounce was next level. I mean, we'll come on to that in a bit. But yeah, and you know, Polvara's got a new tune as well. I'm just, yeah, as I said, I share your frustration. But as I was saying to Fraser Walls today, I'm encouraged. You know, a lot of people have kind of maybe picked up on the fact that we've had pride in that performance last night. Yes, we haven't come away with points, but for kind of the first time this season, and I mentioned it in the last episode I didn't see an identity in this Aberdeen team. I didn't really know what we were trying to achieve. Last night, I saw an identity to that Aberdeen team. I think, you know, if you see the quote about from Stefan Gartenman, you know, him saying about the pride that the player should feel pulling on that badge and seeing the support, you know, fully applauded the players off the pitch. There was one idiot that was booing after 15 minutes because I think Kelle Russet lumped it long, but 10 minutes later, he certainly wasn't booing, that's for sure. But also, I thought our kit looked class last night with the white shorts going with the white kit as well.
I did enjoy it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. However, I do think it's so stupid that we've brought out an away kit and in the last two away games, we've not been able to wear it. Totally pointless. Absolutely pointless. But I did enjoy it. It did look good. It looked classy. But I do agree that we did sort of have, it seemed we sort of had more of an identity. I watched at the pub. I didn't have the joys of being in Frankfurt, unfortunately. But you could see what they were trying to do, but the bank five, bank four, frustrate them. And then when we do win it, we try and play. VK mentioned finding it frustrating with some of the poor passes, and then highlighted the shinny through to Miowski one.
Oh.
That was frustrating. I don't know why he didn't just lift it or just put it around the side.
Put it around him.
Yeah, or just lift it. And okay, it might have been hard to control, or he might have had to divert his run a little bit, but still would have been able to control it, you would think, and be through. And at that times, you know, things didn't come off, but it was far more positive, I felt, the way that they actually tried to play, which is mental that we're actually saying that. And then they weren't just hoofing it along like we saw at Tynecastle, which was encouraging and, you know, good that they've got that sort of belief, I guess, and they were brave enough to do it against quality opposition too.
Yeah, and if you want to also speak about frustrating passes as well, if we're doing that just now, Ryan Duncan, when he had the opportunity to play in Duke, who would have been clean through, but he leathered the ball out of play. It was just a bit too much on the pass for Duke to be able to control. And, you know, that was really frustrating because it was a simple pass to make, but, you know, people would maybe pick up on the fact that Duke didn't control it as well. But just one of them. That I think probably adds to the frustration maybe some people will have from last night, because if we made changes to the lineup. Duke dropped. Miowski, I thought, was excellent leading the line on his own. I mean, desperately unlucky, as we've pointed out, that Shinny couldn't play a better pass through to him. And I mean, that would have put us 1-0 up. Well, unless he repeated what he did against Haken, of course, which would have been carnage. And was on the end of a heavy challenge that I don't remember thinking that guy got booked for that. But I think the biggest surprise was seeing Dante Polvara come into the team in midfield. I mean, look, Callum, we spoke about Dante on the show last time out, a player weirdly enough heavily criticised, or certainly the criticism towards him getting a new deal. We've spoken about there being a player in there. I think he absolutely was probably one of our best midfielder last night. You look at the fact that they had to take off Mario Götze at halftime. They had to change their midfield. You had US men's international Paxton Arnesen in their team as well, and he was being upstaged by Dante Polvara. Jack McKenzie also coming into the team as well. We'll get onto Jack in a second, but your thoughts on Dante Polvara?
I told you so. He'll come good. I think that was the start of it. And I like the fact, although obviously we ended up losing the game, he's off the mark and he took his goal very, very well, as he said. First of all, Nicky Devlin did well to actually get it through. So it went through a couple of Frankfurt bodies. He took the goal extremely well. I was very happy for him. He looked absolutely delighted. I thought overall he performed very, very well. And I think if we can start to see more performances like that, and hopefully him getting amongst the goals even more, then we could be on to something. So still early days. He's still got plenty developing to do, but still got plenty time to develop, most importantly. But I was just glad that I was proved correct for once. Was it throwing off shit at the wall, eventually some of it will stick? I think that maybe applies.
Yeah, but what a goal. Like, the fact that Frankfurt needed two set pieces to score against us, and we scored against them versus open play and continued to cause them problems from open play as well. Just as you said, excellent work from Nicky Devlin, and that's, again, imagine playing him in his preferred position. We see the success of that. But the composure to cut it back, and we spoke about this as well on the last episode, the need to be clinical when opportunities arrive. And I guess you see that difference between Dante and Esther, but I know obviously Esther's chance is a lot more difficult. But the composure from Dante to even just take the touch and then sweep it high into the net. And look, I know you're going to Greece, and anyone else that, you know, maybe wasn't in Frankfurt and is doing a European away trip, I just hope you get to experience a bounce like those of us that were there last night, because that was incredible. I mean, a terraced away end, absolute carnage. The floors were so sticky at the start of the game. I think the amount of beer that went flying, it wasn't sticky after the goal went in, but just absolute chaos. And I think a lot of us had said pre-match as well, Calum, that, you know, regardless of what the result may be, because I think a lot of us did fear the worst, just give us something to celebrate. You know, maybe a lot of us maybe assumed that would be maybe 2 or 3 nil down, but to get an equaliser was just, it was bedlam beyond belief.
It looked very good. The Holborn Bar was not quite the same, I wouldn't imagine. But your glasses stayed intact, so that's a good start as well.
They did.
It looked very, very good. And I'm glad that everyone that made the effort to go across had something to celebrate. It was excellent composure from Dani Polvara. Brilliant finish. One that a striker would be proud of, you feel. And hopefully there's more of that to come, as you say, with Greece. And you're going to Helsinki, aren't you, Ben?
I am, yeah. But yeah, no, I was standing next to a dad, and his son was standing in front of him. It was the first, as he called it, proper European trip, because Burnley didn't count. And, you know, seeing like people like that getting a chance to celebrate goals together. There's me and Ian, who've been going to Pittodrie for 4 or 5 years, more probably. And, you know, people that you share moments, the highs and lows of following the club, to get that one moment of high, it makes it more so special. I remember a friend, Sarah, she was there with her dad and managed to catch her at the goal as well. And you know, sometimes when you see people that you know at the football, and you both, you know, catch each other eye and that, and you share in that moment, it's, I always say, when people probably that aren't football fans ask you to describe that feeling it is when your team scores a goal, you can't. And I think, you know, that bounce and that moment that many of us had on Thursday night, as much as we can maybe compare it to another goal, it's probably hard to describe. But another player, as we mentioned, that came into the team was Jack McKenzie. And unfortunately for Jack, probably didn't quite get up to speed of the game early on, and got caught out as Frankfurt probably had their, first real attack. And I said Frankfurt had a soft penalty given against them at the weekend. I couldn't help but feel at the time, I don't know, as you'll have been privy to a lot more replays, because I've not seen anything back. Penalty for you, or is it soft?
It's a penalty. I think McKenzie is very unlucky, though, because of the way the guy sort of runs into him and then McKenzie ends up bundling him over. I think he is unlucky, but for me, it's a penalty. My dad thinks otherwise. He thinks that the guy just ran into him and therefore shouldn't have been a penalty. Mm-hmm. However, for me, I think so. I do think he is very unlucky, though. I would emphasise that. And it's just unfortunate that it had to be him as well. Somebody comes in for so much criticism, and rightly or wrongly so, people have their opinions. But for me, it was a penalty. I did think he was unlucky. And you know what? I thought he actually performed okay. He performed pretty well after that. I was worried that he was going to dwell on that mistake and it was going to be downhill from then on. I also thought the scoreline was going to be downhill from then on, actually.
Yeah.
So I was very impressed by the fact that we came back into the game. But for me, a penalty, and I guess unlucky for McKenzie. However, some people think otherwise. Kaiser there saying McKenzie was sleeping really poor and they switched on. And I can see that side of the argument as well.
And to be honest, that was exactly how I felt at the time. I thought he was sleeping and he wasn't switched on at that moment. But you're absolutely right to defend him in the sense that he did grow into the game. And I think a lot has to be said for the entire defence, because I certainly shared your opinion that when we went 1-0 down at that point, and I tell you, the noise when that goal went in, but not just the noise from that goal, the noise throughout from that Frankfurt fans. Never let a Rangers or Celtic fan tell you that those grounds are something different on European nights. That noise was constant, and what a backing. I've genuinely never heard anything like it. And, you know, there's rumours going around on the numbers that they're going to be taking to Pittodrie in December, but All I'll say is you'll probably be hoping that the fence is still intact come December, I'm sure, Callum. But I think those, you know, was it 1,900 would be the official away allocation, will make Pittodrie very quiet by how passionate and how loud they are.
It'll be interesting. It'll be an experience, I'm sure. I don't. It'll be interesting to see how they cope with not only them but the players as well. The December weather, mid-December weather at Pittodrie will be. It'll be an experience for them, but it'll be good to see a sort of atmosphere like that at Pittodrie. I think I'll enjoy it, but yeah, must have seen videos of the Frankfurt end, and obviously watch it on the telly when they pan to the crowd and things like that. They take it very seriously, and boy, do they make a racket. But good experience. I'm sure good experience for you getting to go over there and enjoy that kind of thing, and as well as a few German lagers prior. And not to suffer too much afterwards either.
Well, try my best. But I was speaking to Tyrone Smith today in the airport on the way back, and he was saying, you know, compare that to the Allianz for maybe those that were there 15 years ago. I was probably too young to appreciate the kind of vocal backing. It's certainly one of the more impressive stadiums I've been to between that and the Allianz. But yeah, just the terms of, you know, people will say, oh, the Red Shed's good, but that's on a different planet. The bits a lot of German football is in general. The only thing that I will say is I hope when Frankfurt come to town, we drop them in Stonehaven or something stupid and make them walk to the ground. I'm not having that down as a 1K walk from the train station to the stadium. And the way back was a total joke. For anyone that's been in Aberdeen tonight and saw the absolute downpour, well, thankfully it came on right as I was leaving the airport to get to the car park. So anyone in the Dice area this evening will know what I'm talking about. That was what the Aberdeen fans had to do in over a kilometre at full time in a pitch black forest. It was not fun at all. So hopefully they get subjected to similar weather and a similar walk. That's all I'll say on that.
I think that's fair. I can imagine going to the game all round would just been a very interesting experience between like the atmosphere building up in the square, then having to walk through that forest for ages to get to the game, and then to be greeted in it was an incredible stadium from what I saw. It would have been nothing quite like that in Scottish football.
No, and of course, as far as McFarlane asking how the old style standing area was, we don't have old style terracing in Scottish football as well, and that was a good experience as well. As I said, it was like being on a dance floor in the terrace. The floors were that sticky at the start, but also great being able to get beer and bratwurst to your seat, if you want to call it that. But no, really good, and you know, it wasn't as crushed or as compact as people maybe would have been worried about. Everything went off without any kind of issue in that area, so it was all good. But you know, Calum, at half time, I don't know what the mood in the Holborn was, but certainly in Frankfurt, because of course Kel had a big save to make just shy of half time. The offside flag went up. Was he offside?
I think he was just. It was very, very tight, however. From the angle we got given, but credit has to go for Kel Roos, because there was a couple of times actually where he pulled off big stops and then later on the flag went off, it went up. He wasn't to know. I thought Kel Roos had a very, very good game, and nothing he could have done about the two goals either. But for me, that one was offside. Just it was very marginal. I think it was by about a shoulder.
Was it? Yeah, that would have been a nervous VAR check if that had gone in, but. There was a heavy tackle by Stefan Gartman in the second half, which I think actually led up to the corner for their goal. That challenge, Kevin Trapp was going absolutely crazy at. You know, he was saying to the linesman that was studs up and that it should have been punished more. I know the referee brandished a yellow card. Was there anything in the replays on that that kind of maybe caused you any concern, or was it mentioned at all?
When I saw it in real time, I thought, "Oh God, that doesn't look good." But having seen it back, it wasn't. It was maybe a bit boisterous. That's probably not the right word to use, but
no,
I wouldn't, I wouldn't think it would be. It wasn't too overzealous, and it wouldn't have merited any further action for me. But on Stefan Gutterman, whilst we're speaking about him, brilliant, I thought, absolutely excellent. Mm-hmm. Both him and Richard Jensen, in particular, for me, looked very, very good and very, very comfortable on that sort of stage, which is certainly very, very encouraging.
But also probably reassuring for Rubisic as well, because he probably got nothing to really complain about on his performance from last night.
I've not actually seen the second goal back, but people are complaining about him for that. I've noticed that, but I would say he didn't stand out as much as I thought he was going to, given sort of recent performances and things. And I think having those two beside him, if that's going to be the partnership going forward, there's three of them, the combination, shall we say, then perhaps he will sort of grow a little bit more confident and grow into his game a little bit more, you know, take reassurance in sort of those two experienced heads alongside him, both having played at that level before. And you could certainly tell. I thought they were both excellent. In fact, Richard Jensen, probably man of the match for me.
Mm. Well, the German beer was man of the match for me. for as good as Eintracht Frankfurt are, they beat us with a pen and a header for a corner, as Kaiser says. And that is the kind of frustration, to use Barry Robson's buzzword in a post-match press conference. And for me as well, they didn't do enough to kind of beat us from open play. And the penalty is soft. And if people want to apportion blame to Ruby for not picking up Robin Koch, then that's fine. But if we're going to put a man on the post at the corner, stay on the post. So for me, the more blame, and I know Leighton had his family over watching it in Frankfurt because they were enjoying the square before the game as well. For me, more blame goes on Leighton for coming off the post for that goal. If he stands where he was supposed to be, that goal doesn't go in. Whether or not they go on to score another, who knows? But the players were quite visibly getting frustrated the more that game stayed at 1-1.
They absolutely were. Got to say, however, cracking header in the first place from Koch to put the ball in the net. However, yeah, if Leighton Clarkson sticks on the post, and that's actually one of my dad's biggest gripes, that teams don't put players on the post anymore. Yeah. And then we actually did, and the man deviated from his task, unfortunately. I'd sort of felt like, well, I thought it was going to be completely backs to the wall throughout the whole of the second half. I thought they were going to get ripped into it at halftime and come flying out the traps, and it was sort of only going to be a matter of time. But in terms of the pressure they put on, I didn't think it was as much as I had expected. And I actually thought we dealt with it very well. And we seemed to have found a way of playing against teams like Frankfurt, sort of similar when we played against Celtic at Pittodrie. That makes me confident that we will get a scalp this season against these sides who absolutely should be beating us, but we should be able to go and give a game. We've given them games. I think there's reason to be confident that we will be able to get a scalp this season if we continue to play in that manner and stick to our task, be disciplined defensively, so long as when we have the ball, we play football and create opportunities and hopefully take them.
Take them, yeah, exactly. And I think you're absolutely right. And I guess, again, we kind of mentioned that at full time yesterday. You know, I think, you know, obviously Helsinki lost by 3-2 against Pauk. I think maybe some people would have been surprised by that because it flashed up on the big screen for us in the first half that Helsinki were winning. And I was like, it was a bit of a surprise at the time. So, you know, maybe there was elements of parts of our support, and again, I'll include myself in that underestimating Helsinki slightly, but knowing that that's maybe the games that we are going to be targeting for points. Obviously, they are our next opponents in the competition, but also that Pauk, as we saw at Tynecastle, are vulnerable away from home. That's our third game in the competition. Given the performance, as you've said, as long as we can continue in that vein and all those aspects that you said as well, we need to attribute when we're playing Helsinki, when we're playing Pauk, but also when we're playing Ross County on Sunday as well. This can't just be a one-off performance for European competition as well. It has to be the standard that we maintain now throughout the rest of the season, starting this Sunday as well. But if we do maintain that level of performance, you're absolutely right. There is no reason why we can't look to go and pick up points in those home games. And I just wonder, what would you say from those two home games coming up in the Conference League, would you put as a minimum set of points? I've been saying today, you'd have to be looking at four as a minimum. You have to be going unbeaten in that October doubleheader.
I think unbeaten, well, to stand a chance of going through, which I don't know how realistic it is. It's early days, and maybe we're just on the high of a decent performance. We'd have to be unbeaten and winning one of those games. I'd probably expect 3 points. However, four would be very, very good, I would feel. And then with the chance of potentially going to, you're probably looking more at Helsinki and potentially getting something there, which would maybe stand us in good stead in getting through. But certainly reason to be confident, I think, from that and from against Frankfurt. And I suppose when you think about Esther Sokler's chance at the end of the game, and then there was the ball got cut back and someone stepped over it, but there was no one arriving behind them.
That was, Jamie Preacher mentioned it earlier, Duke Square pass across the goal should have been in the back of the net. There was actually a deflection on that cross from, I'm sure it was, whether it was the heel or the toe, I can't remember, but there was a deflection from a Frankfurt defender that took it away from whoever was charging in the middle, because I couldn't believe that nobody got on the end of it, because the ball was great. But as soon as there was a deflection, I just remember shouting, "You jammy bastards," because I just felt that, you know, the pressure was beginning to build from us, and they were, you know, to use Callum McGregor's phrase, the leniency of refereeing very much favoured the home side, I felt, last night. And I didn't feel we were getting a lot of decisions. So to not get many of the decisions and then not get the break of the ball when you get a great chance was frustrating. And as I said, some of our passing towards the kind of end when we were looking to hurt Frankfurt on the counter, it was just not quite there, that little bit of quality that maybe they could have offered when they hit us on the counter-attack.
Absolutely. On Sokler's chance, do you think he could have done better? Because for me, it was a very difficult one for him to take, I felt. And you also maybe question if he was a bit more sharp, had he had a bit more game time between then and now, shall we say, then maybe that's one he puts away. But for me, it's very, very difficult for him to take. Maybe he should have gone with his side foot and just try and direct it a little bit more rather than putting his foot through the ball.
Oh, honestly, I really don't want to watch it back because I will have nightmares about it. But you're absolutely right. And I said this today, that I just wonder how much, or how, if he was more match fit, match minutes in his tank, even if he'd maybe, I know he scored in pre-season, but, you know, we spoke about how good Polvara was against Turriff, and people don't like to reference that game. So I know he scored against Turriff, but it's maybe not the same. So had he had a bit more maybe match sharpness about him, could he have done better? It's just going to be one of those if moments. We seem to be stocking up just now. But again, Harry Jim says Bojan would have scored it. A few people mentioned that last night as well. I wondered what Kaiser's commented as well, saying, could he have taken a touch? Could he have actually taken it down before finishing it? Because there was nobody behind him. There was nobody near him. He didn't need to rush it as much as he did. But honestly, I hate to think what condition I would be in if it had that found the back of the net.
I don't think I'd be talking to you right now. You'd probably be still in Frankfurt getting hammered.
Yeah, I know there were some people that have missed their flights home today, and I would have probably been there as well.
I think so. I'm not sure. My worry would then be, would he have not been able to get the shot off had he taken a touch? But then at the same time, he might have actually scored had he taken a touch. But also, suppose, I wonder with the fact that he maybe, he isn't sharp or whatever, Also, perhaps if he had a bit more game time, maybe his confidence would have been a little bit higher, and also he might have grabbed a goal in that time as well. So, I don't know. One of those what-ifs, but hopefully he'll get a chance at some point throughout the season to right those wrongs, and he'll come up big in a moment like that again.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, you know, despite those kind of efforts, because I know VK had put a comment in earlier saying when we were speaking about Frankfurt not doing enough, he said that we didn't do enough either. And, you know, maybe that's fair because some of the chances weren't maybe clear cut enough. But I certainly was, I thought we did better than I expected in the second half. Again, I thought like you would maybe be kind of an onslaught back to the wall job, but no, we kind of held our own position and looked to hurt Frankfurt where possible. So maybe slightly on the harsh side. And I think, again, we kind of touched on this as well in the preview segment, that when going behind, if we then did try and push too much, a team of that quality could in fact pick you off at will. But I think it also kind of shows a lot of respect to how we did, the fact that, you know, towards the end of the game, they went very much defensive in some of their substitutions and looked to themselves, shut up shop as well, which obviously then helped us invite on more pressure because they weren't as willing to go forward. So, look, yes, we didn't win the game, but we've certainly, in my eyes, I've felt a bit more pride back about this team than what I did, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday. We just now, most importantly, have to back this up on Sunday against Ross County, Callum. And I think, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, with Frankfurt being this team in transition, Sunday's probably going to be almost harder than Thursday. Maybe seems a bit of a strange thing to say, but is it fair?
Possibly. I mean, the onus is now back on us. And so far we've seen the season, when that's the case, we don't tend to perform very well. And we saw Robson set up the team very well against Frankfurt. We now need to sort of flip the coin and be on that other side now, where can he set up the team in a way where we're going to be on the front foot, we're going to be controlling, we're going to create lots of chances, and we're going to take them. And it'll be interesting to see what he does in this game at home. Will he stick with a five? I hope not, almost at this point. And certainly if it's five, then it needs to be a three most of the time with the wing-backs bombing forward. It will be interesting. But I do agree now that there is sort of a more sense of pride. When we spoke on Monday, recording the last episode, we were talking about being pretty apathetic about even recording, because it's just, here we go again, kind of thing. Whereas now I'm looking forward to Sunday. It's given me hope. I think it's the same with a lot of people from what I've seen on social media as well. It's just, as I said at the start of the show, I hope that this game is like, could be a turning point where, you know, we've performed well against a decent side. You're spent lots of money in a top five league, and we've shown that we are capable of competing. It's Ross County. No disrespect to them, but if we can compete with Frankfurt, then we should absolutely be taking the game to Ross County and punishing them. And I'm hoping that's the case. I'm hoping we don't end up with egg on our face when we chat on Monday or whatever it will be.
Yeah, and I think you're right, and especially about the, you know, being apathetic to recording. And I have to say, you know, a big thanks to everybody that wasn't in Frankfurt and you know, came up and said, you know, nice things about the podcast and the whether it was positive or negative feedback, because we take it both ways and it's helpful. But a lot of nice comments and a lot of nice pints bought as well, so that certainly helped as well. But no, you know, that when you're feeling apathetic to recording did make me feel happy that if we did get pumped 6-0, there would still be plenty of people kind of tuning in to hear what we had to say as well. And a lot of people were asking where you were, Callum, so you'll be your turn to experience that come Greece and get asked where I am. So I know how much you love getting the attention from the podcast, so something for you to look forward to as well. But absolutely, this Sunday is is huge and can be that building block, can be the kickstart to the season that we all hoped Hearts would be. Unfortunately, fell flat on our face there. And I did enjoy a comment saying, I wonder if things go wrong on Sunday, if the tiredness from Haken will be replaced by the tiredness from Frankfurt for a few weeks instead. So time will tell, but this will also kind of tell how much Barry is willing to utilize the squad. Look at Duke, for example. He didn't start the game on Thursday night. Will he come in to start instead? What about Bojan? He started. Do you go one up top with Duke and then switch them about on Sunday? Kind of go the opposite. Like said, Dante Polvara hadn't had a lot of game time in recent weeks, put in a great shift. Connor Barron came on. For me, impressed against Hibs and Hearts. He could do a job in there. This is when, with the importance of the League Cup as well being an ideal opportunity to put some silverware in the trophy cabinet, we need to start seeing the squad being utilised to their potential in these next two games.
Absolutely, we do. And I suppose you've got Esther Sockler, who came off the bench as well, then Habib Gaye, yeah, who didn't feature, but I'm sure he's eager to get going and get some game time under his belt. It'll be interesting. We're in a pretty good spot right now where we've got players back fit now, and we do have options. It will be interesting to see how we set up and who features, but I'm excited. And the fact it's two games in quick succession against the same team, though, however, that I never like that. I feel like you're never going to win both, but we've got the players there to do it. They've shown they can play football against a very good side. We can do it. And I'm sort of really hesitant to get over and ahead of myself, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And that's what that performance has given me. And I'm looking forward to going to Dingwall as well in the midweek. But it'll certainly be interesting the way Barry sets us up. And I really hope he will get it right, because he got it right in Frankfurt. Ultimately, we didn't get the 3 points or even a point, but he got it right. We could have taken something from that game. But now that the shoe's on the other foot and we need to be the team with the most attacking impetus, we need to be taking control. I just hope we can work it out, because so far, domestically, we have not seen that at all. I mean, you think back to some of the games, Livingston away, I know pitch difficult, whatever. We were very poor. Stirling in the Cup, very poor. Lost to Hearts and Hibs, lucky to get a point against St Mirren. Now we need to kickstart things. And if we get two good results against Ross County, then, okay, we've got Ibrox, whatever. But then that could potentially put us on a good run ahead of October, which could be a very, very big month for us. As I've mentioned plenty of times, four home games in a row, two in Europe. We've got Dundee and St Johnstone at Pittodrie. Meanwhile, throughout the month, Hearts and Hibs playing each other, and then they're also both playing Celtic and Rangers. Of course, yeah, there's St Mirren and Motherwell now we need to think about too. But it's a good chance for us to really get going.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. It's really about momentum. And I think, you know, the thing is we said this, we wanted to work out for Barry Robson. We do. It's frustrating when, you know, things aren't going right. And the other thing for me as well is just that bit of momentum that can be gained from the next two games. Yes, as you say, that the Rangers game is maybe going to be a bit of an outlier in there, but if we can just set ourselves up for going into October. But to be honest, I say that Rangers game is a bit of an outlier, but they've not really impressed me much this season either. And yes, okay, both our best performances have ultimately ended in defeat, but you know, if we can, you know, put it all together, you never know, we could go down there and get a result as well. But you know, Kaiser suggesting 4-3-3. I think certainly I thought at the game, I don't know if it came across on TV, it certainly looked like we ended the game on Thursday with a 4-3-3 with Duke through the middle. I think Johnny Hayes was right wing and Sokler left wing. Sokler and Duke could have switched, but it certainly looked like we went 4-3-3 towards the end. And of course, when we're speaking about, you know, players that have not featured, you mentioned Habib Gaye as well. Jimmy McGarry, after, you know, being really impressive at a left wing back, obviously Jack came in instead. You know, again, there's another potential change that we could make to this team going into the weekend as well. Angus McDonald still not featuring for the team for whatever reason. So there is, you know, changes that can be made if needing. I suppose he'll be reluctant to make too many changes. But hopefully we can, you know, use that if we need in the game as well, because of course we've got the five substitutions as well. But yeah, Rory's first game on Sunday as well, so excited for that a bit more now after Thursday as well. Even if you know things haven't been going right in the league, Reece Williams, of course, he does actually exist, because the team didn't fly back last night. I think due to the weather, their flight got cancelled. So they actually flew back at the same time as I left Frankfurt today. So seeing them going through the airport and Reece Williams was there. I think he was actually named on the bench alongside Ordadi as well. So both of them do actually exist, contrary to popular belief as well. But look, Callum, we thought we'd come on and kind of round up kind of our thoughts from last night as well, because we both were kind of encouraged, and you know, I thoroughly enjoyed what was a great 4 days away. I mean,
did the German lagers all blend into one? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it really did. So it's all quickly catching up on me. But we thought we'd come on to give our thoughts on last night and look ahead to the weekend. And look, feeling a bit more positive. I maybe feel it more than actually look at myself. But hopefully, come next week, we've actually got something positive to speak about in the league. But even more grateful would be 3 points, wouldn't it, Callum?
Absolutely. And it'd be great for Rory as well, yeah. You feel like. If we lose, however, on Sunday, he's not allowed back. He's not allowed back. I've got all of that now. But no, I would be great. To be honest, we've been speaking about, you know, playing football, getting the ball down on the deck, creating lots of chances and things like that. However, if we were to win on Sunday, by any means necessary, I would be absolutely delighted. But it would be good to get our sort of league campaign up and running. A lot of when we're playing games and they're coming so thick and fast like this, a lot of it is about momentum. So if we can start to gather that with these two games against Ross County, then I've got faith that we will be all right.
Yeah, I agree as well. So let's keep that faith. Let's hope everything goes to plan. And thank you for jumping on. I know you're down in Kirkcaldy tonight. You had a good day with the Glenrothes Reds yesterday. I know you enjoyed that picture of me and Sam very much. Not made you jealous at all. And thanks to those of you that have joined the stream tonight. As I said, it was very short notice for a lot of you as well, because I wasn't sure how I was going to feel. I wasn't sure when I was going to get home. And actually, big up the KLM pilot on the 4 o'clock flight, who decided not to enforce a 1 hour delay by getting the water tank serviced or some nonsense like that, and just said nobody can get tea and coffee on the flight home, so he can get home with only a 10 minute delay. So I'm glad for that, not having to sit on the plane for an hour. So chill out, and I think I'm going to go in my bed and get a decent night's sleep.
Didn't have that on red tinted glasses bingo for this episode. And all. No. I don't think anyone else did. But no, thank you very much, Glenn. I'm glad you had a very good time away. Recover, recuperate, and get ready to go again. And thank you very much to everyone for tuning in. A lot of nice words. And hopefully Glenn's head's not too big after everyone's complimenting him on holiday and buying him alcohol. Sports Social Podcast Network.